Yes, we're back, and now I'm going to turn it into the Daryl McCarroll Show here on WPHM, and welcome back. Daryl, it's been a while.
It has. I don't think we started it. We didn't have a early season.
And we usually do. You guys finished up the season. I'm going to say you finished up the season on a high note. I know you didn't win the last game, but I also know that when people look at it on paper, they go, "Oh, Brother Rice, why is Norther even going down? Why are they even bothering?"
Well, and if you looked at the regular season, they are in our league, and we played them twice, and they beat us 5-0 and 9-0. Extenuating circumstances around that 9-0, it was right after the Christmas break, and it looked like we never got off the bus. But overall, it's likely one of the teams that I'm most proud of. And I mean, if you do look inside the numbers and the age of our kids, the future is bright, but they played so well together. They did a lot of amazing things the last couple of weeks.
Well, here's one of the things that I found interesting. Well, two things that I found interesting about your team. First, your defense. You had three experienced kids and three not-so-experienced kids back there for you this year. And I thought you did a good job pairing guys up and that, for the most part, at least in the hockey games that I saw this season, they did a good job back there.
I mean, Tucker Harris and Lawson, who we had back there, they were our quarterbacks. And then we moved Platzer back on from forward to defense, and he did an outstanding job. And then we got Van Buskirk, who came out of nowhere, but as a senior, and he did an outstanding job. And then we found this kid Nolan Johnston, ninth grader, and we threw him in the deep end of the pool, and he did a real nice job. And then we had Alex Graham that stepped up, and he kind of just came out after football. I didn't know anything about him, but he gave us everything he had. And those guys, I mean, everybody stepped up and played at the highest level they could by the end of the year.
To be good, you got to be deep, and I thought up front you guys were deep. I mean, obviously, Dickinson and Barless and O'Flanagan, their numbers jump out at you, and Natesel scored a lot of goals for you this year. But when I look at, like, when you throw McHugh and Fye and Pyrk and guys like that, they scored some goals for you this year.
Yeah, I mean, there was a moment in our first game that we played, playoff game with Romeo, that we were playing in a game, and there was 40-some seconds left, and it was a 3-2 game, and we sent out McHugh's line, which was two freshmen and a sophomore. And we said, we got to let these guys kill those 40 seconds off and not get scored on. And they did. I mean, every one of those guys, we had to use everybody. We don't take guys not to use them. And everybody stepped up. They met the challenge. They weren't in awe of the moment. 9 out of 10 teams that we play, they have 10, 12 seniors on there. We had four seniors. You know, we have 11 guys that are freshmen and sophomores. They weren't deer in headlights. They just met the challenge, and it was a nice thing to see.
Yeah, every year I hear the same old story. Why doesn't Northern get out of the MIHL? Why do they want to play Rice and Catholic Central and St. Mary's and De La Salle and this guy and that guy? But you always say it's not really our record during the season. It's, are we getting better? And when you're competing against high-level competition, you have to compete or you get embarrassed. It forces your kids to play stronger, better hockey.
Well, I don't know if people believe us or not, and that's our philosophy at Northern, is play the best competition and get mentally prepared and physically prepared for the speed and the tempo of the best teams out there. But what we're looking at is we wouldn't have had the success in the playoffs if we hadn't already been there. We've told our players that we had played 14 or 15 games from our schedule that were tougher than what we were going to play in our regional and in our quarterfinal. And they didn't blink. I mean, we came down back from 2 goals down in our first game. We came down from 3-2 with 2 minutes left against Stony Creek. And then we were down 4-0 against Brother Rice and lose 6-5. And I told our kids, you know, and the line's been used before, we didn't lose, we just ran out of time. because that game was coming to us.
Yeah, I want to go back to Saturday, the regional final, because I got to sneak out and see that game. Actually, I got there. I think I missed the first period, but the game for me didn't start till the third period, anyways. So you guys are up 2-1 going into the third. You know, I thought O'Brien makes this spectacular save and the rebound comes right out to the guy and he ties the game. That's a bad break. But then the go-ahead goal flutters in there, and I just looked over at the bench and I said, man, Darryl can't catch a break in these games. He just can't catch a break. And so it was really cool when you pulled the goalie and the guys battled back, and O'Flanagan scored the goal with 33 seconds left to tie it. Then the first overtime comes, and I thought you guys were all over them and did everything but win the damn game. And being an old hockey guy, and I'm sure you're thinking the same thing, every time one team is all over the other team in overtime and they don't score, they come down and take a shot and lose. And then the same thing to me started happening in the second overtime. And then finally, you got a goal to win it late in that second overtime, and a great goal too. That's the way overtime hockey should end, with a kid roofing the puck up under the crossbar to win the game.
Well, you got that right. And the nice thing about that, every one of the goals that we scored in that game, we practiced it. We started 6 weeks ago pulling our goalie in practice. And just, you know, after a drill, we just say, okay, we pull in a goalie. There's faceoffs on this side, left side. What guys are lining up? Bang. They knew exactly what to do. Our problem was when they scored the goal to go ahead 3-2, we still had 2 minutes left, and they were celebrating so much I had time to bring my guys over, and I said, just throw the puck at the goalie so we can get a faceoff down there, and then we can run our plays. Well, that first minute of the last 2 minutes, we couldn't get out of our own zone, and I'm going, oh, here we go. At least give us a shot at it. And finally, we get that, you know, faceoff down there. We get the timeout. We talk to them. We said, guys, we've been here. We practiced it. Just, you know what to do. And they did, and it worked out perfectly. And then what Cam Bartlis did in that overtime, like, people don't realize, the guy got, we scored 15 goals in the postseason, and he had 12 points. I mean, he had a heck of a run. But what we've been asking our players to do is go misdirection away from the net and pass to the far post. And when he took both those defenders wide and threw it over to Dickinson, and Dickinson buried it, that it was like, okay, they're catching on. and you just named off our whole thing. We don't have one forward not being able to come back next year. I mean, we have our whole team pretty well forwards coming back. We got two goalies potentially coming back, and we have three defensemen coming back. And, you know, I'll be I have to run down to the state tournament on Saturday, but I'll be here tomorrow night and the weekend watching our Bantam AA play. Hopefully, you know, getting a few of those players to come back out and filling in the holes and getting ready for another run next year.
Now, we mentioned Cam Bartlis, too, on the tying goal. It wasn't the exact same play, but it was a pass from that same side of the net where you guys won a puck battle off to the side. It's just a bullet pass. And there wasn't anything. Well, there were only two things O'Flanagan could have done: bury it or hit the goalie with it. And fortunately, he buried it.
and like you said, but you have to put yourself in the situation to be in that position to put the puck in the net. And those guys, and we're talking about that. Most coaches would talk about, you know, you're talking about an Eisenman and being a veteran and doing this. We're talking about sophomores. You know, we're talking about guys that are sophomores and juniors that have just stepped up and did the job, and that's why it was so much fun for our whole coaching staff to coach these guys, because they were like sponges. And it took a long time. I mean, there was times that we were playing in our league and it looked like we didn't get off the bus, and we were just – and that was – we said, hey, you know, if they're not ready, we got to make sure that we're getting the positive out of our losses. And they never quit. Not once this year – even when we were not competing in games, they went out and tried hard and tried to execute. But when everything comes together, it was so nice for those kids. I mean, would I like to win 5-1, 5-1, you know, and then lose a tight one maybe? Yeah, but the way we won those games, we got a years of experience in those three games that these guys are going to build off of for next year.
I really believe that this stuff does and can carry over from season to season in high school. As long as you're, if you've got a team that isn't going to have a lot of turnover, I look at Port Huron High girls basketball. Last year, they upset Northern in the first game of the playoffs, and it was a big deal because I looked at their roster. I'm like, they're losing one girl. Do you know how much this means to these girls? And then they came out and they beat Anchor Bay in the next game, and then they played Dakota in the finals, and they were outclassed, whatever. But those two wins in that district last year, and they had a winning season this year. They had a winning season, and I'll tell you what, they should have beat the Huskies on Monday night. They were winning the whole game until the end. So that stuff can carry over, and, you know, you guys are only a couple games under 500 this year.
Right. I mean, well, that was the biggest thing for us is, you know, we had, when we first came back to Northern, be close to 10 years now, we ran five regionals off in a row that we went, and a couple times we went to the semifinals and lost in overtime in both of the semifinals in the states.
Oh, the Heartland
and
game.
Yeah, and they're playing right now. Yeah. And the year before that was Kirk Gibson's kid with Grosse Pointe South. And so, I mean, we had our moments there, but we had to learn how to win. And then we went on, you know, 3-4 years of not winning, and we kind of lost that edge of learning how to win and learning that we're, you know, the moment isn't too big for us. And like I said, these three games right here, you got a whole bunch of young guys that are starting to believe, which that's the biggest thing for a coaching staff to do, is get these guys to buy in. And now if they have some success, which they have, and now, you know, we get them a little bigger, a little stronger. You know, you think about any other sport. If you had to go with young kids into a basketball game or a football game and you're up against an 18-year-old, you might lose that game where these kids didn't blink.
Yep. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey's show here on WPHM with Daryl McCarroll. Here until 7, I am tonight. Red Wings at 7:10. A couple of more things that I want to hit on, Daryl. Was it Wyandotte? That was a big win for you, wasn't it? You guys went to a showcase?
Oh, our showcase, yeah. We had our showcase.
Because I saw the big interview. I was just perusing around the internet one day, and I accidentally stumbled upon a YouTube video of you getting interviewed after a big win.
That's our MIHL playing the KHAA.
Yeah.
The Kensington Hockey League Association. They came up to us, the MIHL, 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, we run that showcase in Trenton, and it's the MIHL showcase, and we bring in 42 of the best teams in the Midwest. And they offered to play it, and what we offered was, we'll show up, but we've got our own showcase, so we'll do it. And we've been doing that for 2 years now, playing, and we, you know, we ended up playing Howell this year.
Okay, it was Howell, that's what it was.
And Howell was a good program, or is a good program. And it straight out, they made this monster trophy of challenge between the MIHL and the KHAA, or whatever it is, KHL, something like that.
And Kensington Hockey League or Athletic Association, I think it is.
Right. Yeah. So, and it, you know what? The funny part is 2 years ago, last year, not this year, we won it in a shootout. And at that time, Austin Barless was hurt and couldn't compete. And, I mean, it's a story that people say that, you know, he couldn't play in a game, but he could practice with us. So we had the doctor clear him just in case, because we knew shootouts were part of the showcase. And when you know it, he went out, warmed up, and then he didn't play the whole game. And then shootout, we ended up using him. We won 1-0 with him scoring a goal, and he hadn't played a shift in the game. So and that win won us the trophy for the first year. And then this year, when we beat Howell, that made it a 6-4 victory, too, for six games against our 10 teams. Our league won 6-4. So we've won 2 years in a row, and we've been in an important part of the victories.
All right. I don't always like to single out guys, but I thought, while we've got you here, Brendan Dickinson, 22 goals this season. That's a pretty big year.
Yeah, but if he knows me, I just said he should have 15 more. You know, so
well, at least he's getting chances.
Yeah. Well, and we're working on him how he's attacking the net, because our system does give us breakaways, and he seems to be there more often than not because he does know how to take the top off, and he's getting to the net, but we're wanting him to drop a shoulder and open up the goalie's five hole or go around the other way. And right now, he got 22, but his coach thinks he should have 15 more. And this summer at our hockey school, he'll definitely be working on that.
All right, so you're looking for him to get to 40.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And we're going to need every goal we can get.
I guarantee if you got a guy with 40 on your team, you're going to win more than you lose.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We talked a little bit about Cam Barlas. You said 12 points in the three playoff games.
Absolutely, and he went, I think he only scored twice. So people likely sit there and go, well, you know, he had a pretty good run there. You know, he had a couple goals in the playoff. No, he was the igniter. He set up players. He did everything that we ask of him. You know, he was in there grinding to get the puck. He was grinding. He passed it to the guys tape to tape. He gave the opportunities for these guys to score. And that's kind of what you want. You know, very seldom do I go to the guy that scored the goal on the team. It's usually the guy that won the blue line and got his head, you know, hit hard. And he's picking himself up, squaring up his helmet again. As a coach, you always know it's the guys in the corner, they're digging the puck out, and the guy that scores the goal off the far post into a 4x6 net, you know, hey, good for him, and I'm glad he did it, but I, as a grinder that I was when I played, I know that that's the guy that makes the engine go.
Yeah, I've had this complaint on this show before about how some people pick three stars. Yeah, they just look at the stat sheet and go, oh, this guy had a goal, this guy had a couple of assists. And so those are the guys that are going to get picked as the stars. And I always cringe when a guy plays a great game and does so many things that don't make the stat sheet that helped his team win, and he won't even get consideration because he didn't have a point. And then some guy will tap two in from 5 feet in front of the goal line, not do anything all night. Just he's standing in the right place at the right time twice. Yeah. He's the first star of the game. Are you kidding me?
No. The one thing that, and it came back again, back when I first started playing junior hockey, and Paul Terrio, who went on to coach the Memorial Cup and coached in the NHL, and I was just a 16-year-old playing junior hockey, and he said, saving a goal is just as important as scoring a goal. And I've been using that philosophy my whole life, because learning how to score, it's with maturity, slowing the game down, getting the opportunities and doing it. But when you're young and you can skate and you can, you know, compete, you can always save goals. You know, the defensive side of the puck is the easy part to learn, but you got to put the effort in. So, and I think you saw it in the last game. Guys are back checking, they're picking up sticks. You know, those, like you said, they never get credit for it, and there's no place to put it on the game sheet of how many times a guy lifted up a guy's stick that was just about to take a shot that looked like it was a gimme goal. And our guys are back checking. That's what I'm proud of. Yeah. That's what everybody can give the attaboy to the guy that scores the goal, but I'm looking always away from the puck and what our guys are doing, and they did a great job.
Give me a guy that'll block a shot in a big moment.
And they did that.
Give me a guy that'll win a face-off in a big moment.
Yep. And they did that too. I mean, I had guys that were out there, you know, diving in front of shots to block. So. This year and these last 2 weeks in particular were a great event for our team.
You know, stats wise, it doesn't pop out at me. But I like Ethan Smith, so there I'm on record saying it.
He's a grinder. I mean, he's your guy that you know, when he kicks it in, and he can bury it when he wants to. I mean, he gets the opportunity, but I've seen him more often than not flat footed at the blue line. And he gets the engine going, and he just blows by people. But he's the guy that's going to go in the corner and do all the tough jobs that nobody else wants to do. You know, he's a quiet leader. He leads by example. And, you know, again, that's another returning captain we have next year. That the future's bright for us.
You've got O'Flanagan playing pretty good. I think you have a potential O'Flanagan in Dominic Ruiz.
Ruiz,
at least size wise, he reminds me of that, and hopefully he can play like that. Because
we drafted him from the basketball team. He played freshman basketball last year. We keep making fun of him that he should have came out with us last year as a freshman, but nobody believes that we play our freshmen like that. You know, they think that like any other sport. Well, no, we have to develop all our players to come, and so yes, Dom. Dom goes out there and he's got zero fear. He goes in and attacks the puck, and you're right. He's the guy that's going to be coming up, and his future's bright. It's just like, could we have projected him if he was with us last year, even where he would have been this year? We're happy where he is right now, but as a coach that said, hey, if we had him last year, look where he would have been. Yeah. So you'll get to say that next year,
I think.
Well, that, and, you know, again, another one is Chad Natzel that's coming into his own this year. That's his first year, and he's an impact player. I mean, people are starting to see him and the O'Flanagans and the Barlesses, and, you know, to have people talk about your kids. Usually you're talking about the juniors and seniors, and they're sitting here talking about sophomores, you know, that type of thing. So, I mean, the future's bright for our program. The future's bright for our players, you know. I think our coaching staff has done a great job. Each and every one of them thought that game that we won against Stony Creek, you know, and they said, I've been around for a long time, and I haven't seen a team that just didn't panic when we were down 3-2 with 2 minutes left. So, I mean, it's been a fun year.
All right, good stuff, Daryl. As always, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having us.
And again, it was kind of last minute. It was around 3:00. I'm like, you know, I should talk to Daryl. He's probably had a couple of days here to let it all soak in. It was a pretty strong finish. I bet he's pretty happy.
Very happy. Very happy. And you asked me if I was down at the games tonight. No, I didn't go down to the semifinals for Division II are being played tonight. So, yeah, luckily I could come here and we could talk hockey, which is nice.
Good stuff. I like talking hockey all the time. Thoughts on Ted Lindsay? Because I were talking about him when you walked in.
Well, I mean, everybody's, and I think you covered it more mostly when I came in, of how the man was tough. I was luckily enough, I worked in Sarnia, and I got to play fastball with his nephew. And so he could give me some insight about Uncle Ted and stuff like that, and the stories that likely nobody can hear or do it. You know, a lot of people can't tell Ted Lindsay stories. But I guess what I the most out of him is he wasn't afraid to you know, break a few eggs and especially for the Players Association and things like that, that people don't realize. They, you know, he's got that I'm the toughest guy in the room type thing, and I'm going to play and I'm going to go through you. But he also kept care of everybody else in the room, and he doesn't get as much credit for that, but he's that type of person.
Well, he took on the owners in a day when there was only six teams, and they could have buried him, but they couldn't bury him because he was too good.
That's right, yeah. So it's nice to have those icons, and it's, you know, shame it's a loss, but, you know, he did a lot of stuff in his life, so something that everybody should be proud of.
All right, I got to take my final break here, and then I'll be back to wrap things up. But, Daryl, again, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Red Wings coming up at 7:10, so a lot going on tonight here on WPHM. Stick around.